Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A new term officially began at the Supreme Court yesterday on Monday, and justices are starting off big. The court hears oral arguments today in Gill versus Whitford. And this case could have a huge impact on how political parties exercise power all across the country. The justices are going to have to decide here just how far parties can go when they draw congressional districts to their advantage, including some voters and excluding others. And the outcome could alter how districts are drawn in every state in 2018 and for elections into the future. Emily Bazelon is staff writer for the New York Times Magazine. She's been following the case, which started in Wisconsin after the 2010 census.
The Republicans controlled both state houses and the governor's office in Wisconsin after the 2010 census, which meant that they got to draw the new maps to redistrict in the state assembly, in the state senate, and for the congressional delegation for the state. And they conducted a quite secretive process. They had a few aides huddled together in a room at a law firm, and they hired a political science professor to do some sophisticated computer modeling for them. The computer modeling was allowing the map makers to lean further and further toward distributing Republican voters in the way that would produce the most possible Republican seats. And so what you then see in the 2012 elections is that the Republicans win 60 of the 99 seats in the state assembly in Wisconsin with less than half of the vote.
How common is that? And is that type of secrecy likely to play a factor here?
Well, it demonstrates to the courts that there was an intent to gerrymander here, right? And what was happening was that none of the Democratic lawmakers were invited into this process. And so that suggests that the Republicans knew they were doing something that the Democrats were not going to go for, and also that the public might not like either.
Have Republicans ever acknowledged amongst themselves or in public, hey, we did a great job, look at the results in the elections?
Yes, they did talk about that in internal emails before the elections. They also could argue at the time that they had done nothing wrong, legally speaking, because the Supreme Court has never struck down a redistricting plan, a map, because of partisan gerrymandering.
Is the technology the difference here, the ability to carve out block by block, street by street, even house by house, according to partisan imperatives?
Yeah, the technology definitely makes a difference. It makes it really easy to kind of quickly visualize what the risk is if you imagine a lot of different electoral outcomes. And there's another really important factor that explains why partisan gerrymandering has become so effective. And that's that voters themselves have become more predictable in their behavior. So if you're a registered Democrat, you're much more likely to vote for Democrats than you were in the past. And Democrats have another problem, which Republicans like to point out, which is that Democratic voters increasingly live in concentrated urban areas. And if you live all clustered together among other Democrats, it's going to be easier to gerrymander you into a smaller number of districts.
So, Emily, what's the court actually being asked to decide here? I mean, drawing your own districts, as we said, is common. It's been going on for a long time. So what's the court really looking at here?
The court is looking at whether judges should be able to oversee these map-making processes. So there are other areas of law in which judges get involved in redistricting. We have the rule of one person, one vote. That provides for equal apportionment. So we have precedents here for courts getting involved in map-making. And we're not talking about throwing computers out of the process. But what the Supreme Court could say is that the judges can also use the same tools of the map-makers to assess whether gerrymandering has gone too far. And we've not had that kind of set of cases, that open door for that kind of legal intervention until this point. And that's why this feels like a big new thing.
Now, this kind of case has come in the orbit of the court before. And in 2004, Justice Anthony Kennedy said, you know, this is really hard for us to rule on because we can't come up with what he called a workable standard. How are we supposed to judge what's fair, what's not fair, what actually constitutes a gerrymander? Can they solve that here?
In the past, four conservatives on the court, not these particular four, all of them, but the conservatives, have been very unwilling to consider partisan gerrymandering claims. They think the courts have no business here at all. The liberal moderates on the court have been much more receptive to the idea that courts should be involved, but haven't settled on one particular test or a way to approach this. And so what Kennedy said was, I don't see right now a way to do this, but I'm leaving the door open for somebody to show me one, to show me a workable standard. And a lot of political scientists got into the act. They came up with tests. They're saying to Justice Kennedy, we do have that workable standard now. And the question is whether he thinks they're right.
So how could a ruling here impact all the other states outside of Wisconsin?
You know, the court has lots of choices here. The court could say, okay, based on the kinds of tests that the political science folks, the experts have come up with, Wisconsin's map is really, really extreme gerrymandering. It's an outlier. We say that's not okay, but we're not going to give lower courts a whole lot of instructions about what other maps. They can go figure that out. And then the court would have opened the door to a lot of challenges in the lower courts to other kinds of maps. And then over time, you would see an area of law develop in which there are sort of more and more guidelines for states. One sort of underlying force here is, do you think the fate of American democracy is at stake? I mean, we are seeing fewer competitive congressional races across the country as gerrymandering gets more and more extreme. And this is true for both parties. And then the question becomes, well, are we moving into a future in which one party becomes entrenched in a particular state or region and then can't be toppled? Projections right now are that the Democrats, in order to retake the House, would have to win the national vote by as much as 7% just to get like 51% in the House. And when you start seeing that kind of handicapping, it looks like something's wrong. And then you might be more receptive to the idea of courts playing a role. And the other thing worth mentioning in this whole area is that some states have nonpartisan or bipartisan commissions that draw their lines. And so they've taken it on themselves as states to kind of distance the map making from the political process. And that option exists for each state, no matter what the Supreme Court does here.
Emily Bazelon, staff writer for The New York Times Magazine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Several lawmakers, including prominent Republicans, filed an amicus brief urging justices to end extreme partisan gerrymandering. Senator Richard Lugar was one of those prominent Republicans. Lugar represented Indiana in the U.S. Senate from 1977 until 2013. And he says gerrymandering isn't new, but what happened in Wisconsin is new, and it's helping to erode democracy.
This is not a new phenomenon. It's just the precision with which it's now approached. And this made Wisconsin a very conspicuous extreme case.
I mean, you're really talking about the ability to drill down block by block, even house by house, to determine voting behavior and draw these districts in really irregular shapes that carve out some voters and keep other voters in another district.
That's my understanding. It's a remarkable phenomenon. And it wasn't until the maps that the Republicans had generated were made public that really the public as a whole, quite apart from Republicans and Democratic legislators, had some idea of what the mastery of all of this was.
So, Senator, what's the impact, though, of all this, especially from someone like you who sat in the legislature and watched partisanship grow? What's the effect on democracy and on elected officials' connection to their voters?
The most stark effect is a sense of unfairness. Unfairness as voters generally look at it, quite apart from people in public life, is grossly unfair, as a matter of fact. It's a situation, literally, if you can look at it from this standpoint, in which the legislators are selecting their voters, as opposed to the other way around, in which the voters select the legislators.
And if I'm a member of Congress, let's say, from a heavily gerrymandered district, I don't really need to worry too much about what voters across the spectrum in my district think, because if there are enough, let's say, Republicans, party ID, and I'm a Republican, I can sort of do whatever I want. I'll get reelected.
Well, you would not need to think about the election in terms of a Republican versus Democrat showdown. The situation then becomes really the election is fought in the primary, because it's very apparent that whoever is going to be in the Republican seat and has a gerrymandered district is going to be elected in the general election. but the competition will come in the primary. And this may, in fact, drive the effects to greater extremes. In other words, the legislature may become more extreme Republican and Democrat simultaneously.
So Senator Richard Lugar will get a decision on this case after several months. How would you like to see the court rule? What do you want them to say?
I'm hopeful the court will uphold the previous decision, which is being appealed by Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, as well as the National Republican Committee and various others. I believe that the case as been decided and is being appealed now will at least render gerrymandering not only a bad idea, but hopefully will offer opportunities for reform.
And what's at stake, in your view?
What's at stake is the confidence of American voters that professional politicians of either party, now armed with much better data, much greater precision, are not literally going to take the franchise away from them. That on the one hand, they believe that they have voted for something and they find out the results are reported entirely differently.
Former Senator Richard Lugar of Indiana served in the Senate as a Republican from 1977 until 2013. Senator Richard Lugar, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your questions.